the cosmic legends of the universe, Dave Damaschek. The mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Damaschek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 144 of the Dave Damaschek football program. Available as always on iTunes and at NFL.com/Sheck. S-H-E-K. Good show in store for you today here in Studio 66. Soon through that door will walk Carolina Panthers linebacker John Beeson, a man who I understand has a swell personality. I think we'll be the judge of that. Let's talk about that and some other things going on in the world of sports right now with my main man seated to my immediate right from NFL.com. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I appreciate you putting me on again.
Pleasure. My pleasure as always. Hey, what do you make of, and we'll wait on Beeson here, before we get into the NFC South, we've talked about the fact that I think we're in agreement that that's going to be the toughest division. Maybe the Niners and Seahawks have more top end, but Falcons and Saints, and then the Bucks are interesting, and the Panthers should be a lot better, especially if they get a guy like Cordarrelle Patterson or maybe Tavon Austin with their pick there in the middle of the draft.
Right.
I think if they finally add another piece for Cam Newton to throw to, egad, look out for that. But the point is, unlike the NFC West, which you would say even with Carson Palmer now with the with the Cardinals, there probably is a team that's imminently beatable. I don't see that in the NFC South.
No, I don't agree with that. I think the Cardinals are a lot more credible with Carson Palmer. They had a great defense last year. That was one of the league's top defenses. Now you bring in Carson Palmer. Bruce Arians showed last year that he's a pretty good head coach. Now they're going to run an offense that's suited for Palmer. They're going to throw the deep ball. Larry Fitzgerald comes around. Now they can use their first-round draft pick for an elite offensive lineman if they can get Eric Fisher or the kid out of Oklahoma. Go in there, start rebuilding that offensive line. Now you're starting to talk about a team I don't think is going to go and challenge for the Super Bowl, but at least be a team that could finish 8-8. Your St. Louis FC could finish 8-8. Now you're looking at a team where all the teams –
a division,
the division.
Either way, we have to make sure, Adam Rank, as you try to be courted by NFL teams to see which one you'll root for in 2013, we have to make sure we hit John Beeson up on that subject. All right, let's talk about, though, the story of the week, and it's already put Kevin Ware of Louisville, it seems like, on the back burner. Everybody was buzzing about that one. Boy, the residency and vacationers up on Mount Pius through the roof. Rates have never been so high for room and board up there on Mount Pius as they look down on the rest of the people on the planet Earth. First, how dare anybody look at Kevin Ware's leg? I don't have as big a beef with that as most people do. Fine, if you're squeamish, don't look at it. It doesn't make it an irrelevant thing to see. One, fine. So now the Mount Pius people are all cranked up about that one. But now they've moved on to Mike Rice of Rutgers. And I'll tell you, listen, I don't think it's right to behave that way. What Mike Rice, I'm sure you've seen the video, throwing basketballs, saying nasty things, calling people foul words and so on. But everybody from ESPN, pretty much all the talking heads, everybody, or 95%, I think, are of the mind that this is an outrage. How dare this happen? And it begs the question, did you play sports? I mean, if you did, it seems to me that you would have confronted or you would have had to deal with a coach like this at some point in your life. I mean, I was at the end of the bench in high school playing basketball. I got beaten up verbally at least, and I remember coaches sort of pushing me and sort of directing you in a harsh manner and everything. I mean, am I the anomaly here?
No. I was physically assaulted by a coach.
You were, eh?
Removed my baseball cap and hit me over the head with it repeatedly. And, baseball caps have those little, buttons at
the
top.
That thing hurts.
Bam, bam, bam. And my parents thought it was great.
That metal button. That thing hurts.
And
I wish, that makes me think, I wish you would start wearing baseball caps again so I could do that sometimes.
Sure. Yeah.
Hey, black tie behind the glass. You claimed to be a basketball player, organized ball in high school. Did you ever deal with a nasty coach?
Not really. No,
really?
I mean, we've hard coach, yes, but not nasty in that sort of way. I mean, I understand what you're saying, that, yes, a lot of coaches are hard on players, but what Rice was doing is was a bit extreme, and to the extent that he did it repeatedly on a regular basis, you know, pushing to direct you was one thing, aggressively, because, you know, the ticked off.
Which is what I think he was doing.
Yeah, but
from what I've seen.
A decent amount of it, too, coupled with all the other stuff he was saying and doing, it's a bit over the top. I mean, I'm not saying it's like totally out of, you know, it doesn't happen at all, it's out of this world, but he was over the top.
No, the aspect of it that surprises me, and again, I am not saying this is the way people should behave. I'm not making a qualitative assessment right or wrong. I'm just saying it's all over the place, and that Mike Rice is being held up. I'm not surprised that he would lose his job, but what I'm hearing is, wow, this guy really is out in left field with his behavior. I don't think so. I mean, Bob Knight got caught putting his hands on the late Neil Reed, and that cost him his job. But we always knew that this was true of Knight. I think I don't know this about Mike Krzyzewski, but I'm pretty sure coming from the school of Knight, he can probably get after guys pretty good too.
Sure,
as a matter
he
of
does.
Fact, the list to Tony Dungy, for every Tony Dungy who is mild mannered as a coach in big time sports, I'm certain there are five guys. I guess I'm being as anecdotal as anybody else by saying that. I don't know that that's the case, but I'm inclined to believe it based on my personal experience. Coaches are nasty. I mean, I had PE coaches in high school get in my face because we were playing floor hockey, and they would get. I mean, this is pretty much par for the course as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, and are we this far removed from the Penn State scandal that this is what's outraging us now?
Yeah, good point. Yes,
like this. That's outrageous. That's right. What everybody should be upset with. You okay?
Still, a couple of years afterwards. So because that happened, all of a sudden. We should not pay attention to something that is more or less news.
I am not suggesting that Mike Rice should keep his job, but here's the best indication that this is not completely out of bounds and a complete anomaly in college sports. Rutgers administration reaction. Their reaction was, come on, man. Their video, their cell phones around and everything. You can't be doing that stuff. You know, come on. You got to tone that down unless you're behind closed doors kind of thing. We're going to suspend you for three days. When it became a national outcry, then they decided it's sort of like when my little boy, Jean-Claude Van Damischek, you know, sometimes he once in a while will want some candy just before bed. And if mama ain't around, I'll let him have some of it. And
slip him a good
finger. Listen, go ahead. Here you go. Have some, go ahead there. Get into the Skittles, you know. And then if mama walks into the room, I just was telling him this is wrong to do. That's Rutgers administration's reaction to this. Like, come on. All right. You can. Mike Rice, come on, man. Don't do that one. What? Yes. This is, everybody seen the video of this nationally? Yes, this is wrong. We distance ourselves from that kind of behavior. This reminds me, apropos not necessarily of this, but let me just tell, I've been meaning to share this yarn about my experience in high school. First of all, Ben Lawski, the captain of my high school basketball team, he used to throw basketballs at me because I would screw around and practice too much. And he'd be like, just me and my friend Richie, we were the 11th and 12th men on the team. And so we'd screw around and practice a lot, you know, and we always fell to being the scout team for the guys that actually were going to play. And so we would play the zone defense or whatever the upcoming opponent was going to be doing. And if we stole the ball and as the offense was trying to run a set against it, we would go the full length of the floor the other way and run the other way to complete. You know, we would do it until we finished the play. And all the other guys would have fun with us and everything. And they'd run down the floor with us and make us look good. Not our friend Ben Lawski. He would get the basketball and he'd whip it at us, at our heads. And he would say, stop screwing around. Just because you two aren't going to play doesn't mean the rest of us don't have to get ready for something. But he would use some nasty language mm-hmm. in there as well. Now, our coach couldn't do it because he liked to have drinks before practice. So he didn't really care about our behavior as much. Did I ever tell you the story? Also, this reminds me, freshman basketball, the school's athletic director, by accident, I guess you have to register before each season for your conference, and he somehow screwed up the registration of our freshman team and put us in Quad A. We were a small school. We should have been in single A. Uh-huh. And instead, we wound up in Quad A playing guys named Orlando and we're freshmen who were like 16 or 17 years old.
Right.
Literally, we got dunked on more than one occasion, which was stunning for us. Typically, we would lose games, and I'm not exaggerating. We would lose games standardly 63-14 kind of games. It was sort of like when the Nebraska Cornhuskers play, North Carolina AT&M. Kind of thing. So we got smoked week in and week out, and yet our coach was a fiery guy. He would yell at us. He had a blonde mustache, and he would froth at the mouth, and he would spit, and he would yell at us. And once it got to be about like 0-8, it was like, all right, coach, settle it down here. We're not going to do anything. We're going to get smoked all season long. Except when we looked at the schedule, there was one game on there, Pittsburgh School of the Deaf. That was the one that was waiting us. And we thought, maybe that's our one. Maybe we can get that one. Because otherwise, titanic opponents throughout. So he would give these locker room speeches to us. And he would literally bang. I mean, he would throw basketballs and all that crap and grab you and everything else. But he would also pound on the lockers. And I remember him yelling at us and berating us. I hear you guys talking around the school halls. I hear what goes on there. People are laughing at you because you guys are getting beaten so badly.
You're the freshman team.
And you guys are yucking it up with them. I'll tell you what I would do. If somebody said that to me, I'd punch him in the blanket mouth. That was basically what we're dealing with as we get to 0-10 and 0-11. Now, the Pittsburgh School of the Deaf is on the schedule, and we're looking forward to this one. We think maybe we're not going to go over if we can take down that foe. It's a road game. And we pay a visit there. And, typically when you go and play a freshman basketball game, there's a crowd of somewhere between 11 and 27 people. That's about the high end. Yeah.
Parents.
So we go in, and the gymnasium this time is full. It's a full house. It's like a school assembly. I guess they decided, let's have everybody watch the game. So they, and just like any other high school gymnasium, the seating is those standard sort of those wooden things that pull out from the wall. They can fold in and they pull out. So the stands are full, and this is overwhelming for us because and there's some little quirks that you have to pay mind to when you're playing the Pittsburgh School of the Deaf. Like when there's a whistle, they're not going to hear it, so you have to stop the guys and you have to grab them and so on. So there are those things we're trying to get used to.
Yeah.
We're already deficient basketball players, as our record indicated.
When they talk trash, are they signing it to you?
No. So listen, there's no trash talk, Adam. Please, some respect. So,
shame on you for that.
The game begins. We get playing here, and it is, in spite of being a full crowd, for obvious reasons, it's completely silent. So it's eerie. So the game goes for a couple of minutes, and Ben Losky, the aforementioned Ben Losky, our fine point guard and captain, gets fouled, and he has two shots at the line. He goes to the line, and as he's about to shoot the ball, all of a sudden, the heretofore quiet crowd starts stomping its feet collectively, as they do on those benches, and it makes that sound, and simultaneously and collectively going, "Mission!" Ben Losky didn't make that free throw. But when he came over to the sideline, I said, "You did much better than I ever would have done in that situation." It may have gotten halfway there if it was me shooting the free throw. And the pool of urine at my feet also would have caused some slipping around. Cut to the end. We win the game by either 7 or 8. We defeat the mighty Pittsburgh School of the Deaf by single digits. And we put on a celebration in the locker room like we had just won the national championship. And our fiery head coach, I remember him coming in there as we're celebrating and him saying, "You guys enjoy this one. You've earned it." We ended up going 1-22. That was my freshman basketball team. So you see, I don't know what the point of the story is, but a fiery coach doesn't equal wins. But did it shape me in any way? No. I guess I don't really know what the point of the story was after all. Oh, good thing. Oh, here he comes. But look at this.
How dare he is
from the Carolina Panthers linebacker, John Beeson. I like this outfit, sir.
Sharp. There's been some sharp-dressed guys who have walked into Studio 66 from time to time. I think you vaulted into the lead here.
I love this. Let's not get crazy.
Anytime you can be the best at something, that's a good thing.
You don't have to get into hyperbole to impress John. We can have an honest conversation.
That's not my way.
But
I'm saying, if you think about it, we have our photographer here, Ben Liebenberg, snapping photos. We can go back and check and start going through the Rolodex of photos. I imagine he's going to be near the top, if not the top.
Kudos.
I love it. That's what it's about, man. Just got to be number one.
Yeah, and I love the blazer. It's a plaid sports jacket, mm-hmm. a smart Burberry tie.
There you go. Look at you. You were on it, huh?
I know my thing. Listen, Beeson, let me just say it because I say it to everybody who comes into Studio 66. No rules here.
Gotcha.
Save one. No jive. We shoot straight with each other.
That's cool. Right from the hip. I like that.
Okay, good.
Gotcha.
All right, let's talk about 2012 into 2013. Mm-hmm. Rank here when Steve Smith, your pal,
my boy,
from the Panthers, he sat across from us and Rank here said, "Oh, you guys are going to the playoffs." I told Steve Smith the truth, and I said, "You're not going to the playoffs."
And why would you say that?
Well, I guess I was right, wasn't I?
Yeah, but it's easy. After the fact, I just want to know what was the reason prior to, you know, you're looking at what Cam Newton did, what we did late in the season. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
I saw what was going to happen, and I was right. How are you beating me up? No. How can you beat me up for something that I was correct about? When
you 50-50 odds, that's, you know, that's nothing. That's not special. You know, let's get some real odds in there. You know, it's a yes or no. Are they going to make it? Yes or no. So that's easy. You got lucky. I'll just say that.
That's it. When somebody gets something right for the wrong reasons, like you're playing blackjack and you have a 20 and you hit and get an ace, you don't deserve credit for that, even though you ended up winning.
Right.
You got it right, but for the wrong reasons.
Right. And that's luck as opposed to skill.
I see. All right. Okay. I beg to differ, but all right. We part ways on that. Let's see if we can come together on the future, the immediate future of your team here. I say that the NFC South is going to be nothing less than the toughest division in the NFL this coming season. How say you? I mean, there's just no weak sisters in that division.
Exactly. I think once you got, you know, Josh Freeman popped on the scene, he had an outstanding second year, right? Second year, rookie year. I think it was his second year. He really came along. And then you bring in a guy like Cam Newton, you know, arguably the best rookie season ever, breaking all the records, setting the bar extremely high for himself. You know, so much of this game is based on what you have under the center. Who is the guy pulling the trigger, the quarterback guys? You look at, you know, who's won a Super Bowl, whether they won it, whether they lost it or they were in the AFC Championship, it's the same cast of characters every single time. So, you know, the NFC South, I've been saying it for years, I think it's still the best division in football. Obviously, last year we had a dip. But, you know, as soon as we come along, as soon as we can stay healthy, you know, we're going to be right there. And it's tough to make the playoffs in our situation because you look at a few years ago, 11-5, Saints had to go to the 7-9 Seahawks and lost. So you're 11-5, and you're a wild card in NFC South. So beat that.
NFC West is now, you know,
what they're saying. Absolutely.
Well, here's the issue. The legitimate issue is this, as far as I'm concerned. This offseason is all about, in the second half of 2012, all the experts started to talk as Russell Wilson emerged and Colin Kaepernick and RG3 and Cam Newton turned the corner after being a little sluggish coming out of the gate. All the talk then became about, oh, over the summer, all the league's defensive coordinators will solve those running quarterbacks, the pistol or whatever else you want to call it, and they'll take that away, or at least they'll marginalize it. all right, listen, it's April now. You're going to be playing against those kind of QBs, and obviously you'll have one on your team too. Where do we stand on that? Are the defensive coordinators going to be able to take away the run option or no?
Well, at the end of the day, okay, it's a numbers game. And that's really what it comes down to. You got a 7-man box versus an 8-man box. And people who don't know what I'm talking about, it means you bring a safety down to play the run, and mm-hmm. you have one guy back, one safety back, or you have two safeties back, and you're down a guy. So when they run the ball, they have the advantage versus a 7-man box, and we have the advantage versus an 8-man box. But you have to call it. Now, when a quarterback calls the play, unless you bring both safeties out, what the Steelers did in the playoffs against the Broncos, mm-hmm. now all of a sudden you have no guy deep. 99.9% of defenses are not built to have no safety in the middle of the field. It's just the way you play the game. So you always have the numbers when you run the ball with the quarterback. You can get everyone blocked. Someone's got to get off a block and then try to tackle a Cam Newton or a Kaepernick, which is extremely tough to do. You know, you get 6'5 guys that can run 250, 255. It makes it tough, man. So I don't know if you can solve the problem, but you have to have the right defense called.
Let me ask something about Cam Newton. A lot was made last year of his post-game press conferences after losses. He's kind of – his players in the locker room, do you guys pay attention to that? Is that a big thing to you guys?
Yeah, because he's a trigger guy. He's a guy, even though you're a rookie, at that position you have to come in right away and be a leader, period. The pressure's on you. You chose to play that position, and it's a certain way you have to conduct yourself. And it's fine. You're a rookie. He was playing extremely well, not winning games. And realizing, hey, I have to do more, putting more pressure on himself. But at the same time, you know, he's gotten better. He's matured. And it's a certain way you have to address it, the media. I'm not the guy who has to wear the suit on Sundays for a home game and have a press conference after the game. He is. Mm-hmm. Because you're the quarterback. Every Sunday, it's you. No one else. No matter what. Win, lose, draw, whatever. So he's gotten better. And as a player, you want to see that, hey, you know what? You lost the game. Put it out of your mind. It's on to the next one. This is what we're going to do. Be assertive. You know, be commanding. And, you know, get out there and do the press conference. And let's go. The next week.
But well, at some point, I'd rather see him upset as opposed to some of these other guys who are like, yeah, you know what? We lost.
Yes.
That's great.
It's
It's a fine line.
The trick is just to be consistent.
Well, though? So you're known to be a guy who's vocal within the locker room. Do you go over to Cam Newton and say, "Listen, I know how you feel. I'm upset too, but you know, look, you can't go on the press." Do you talk to him? Does Steve Smith get in his ear? Who is the guy who says, "Listen, just act a certain way"? I mean, you're just putting on a show. You can't reveal your emotions like that if you're bummed out.
It goes both ways. One, you know, I got hurt week one of his rookie year. So I'm not there. I'm not in the fire. Mm-hmm. I'm not that type of leader. I'm not going to be the rah-rah talk guy when, you know, I'm riding around on a scooter, you know, with one leg up. So I'm not out there with you. You know, that part is extremely tough. Two, the guy's he's somewhat playing lights out, the best to ever do it as a rookie. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to mess with it because, well, he's still playing, you know. But it's not so much the press conference stuff. It's the during-the-game stuff. You know, he got a huge deal with Gatorade. So, hey, great job with the towel. You know, I wasn't a fan of the towel. You know what I mean? Because you need to be over there. You look at some of the guys, you know, before you've done it great. Let's just say, you know, Peyton Manning, he's over there. He's with the lines. The receivers were drawing stuff up with the offensive coordinator, quarterback's coach. That's what you need to be doing, not the Gatorade thing. That's what I had a problem with more so than anything. But, yeah, you're throwing for 400 yards a game. You know, so do you want to mess with that? You know, and now all of a sudden come back the next year and things aren't kind of going your way. You're not playing at that high level. Now you might, you know, have something to say.
And as far as I'm concerned, you know, both Rank and I have met Cam Newton a couple of times. And, you know, most of you guys these days, I've gotten over the idea like, wow, football players are really big guys when you meet them face to face. But boy, oh boy, Cam Newton is a specimen. He's the biggest guy in the locker room, right?
Yeah, he is. You know, he's all a 6'5", 255, easy. But just strapping. It's not the kind of you talk about Big Ben, you know, he's probably 65, you know, but it's a different type of build.
Yeah.
You know, he's a lean guy, long, you know, calves crazy. He just looks the bill. He's a guy, you say, man, he's playing quarterback? Wow. He'd be a great tight end or a defensive end or something like that. But, yeah, right away when he walks in, you notice that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of great quarterbacks, I was looking at your website, johnbeeson.com if you want to check it out. I don't know if you want to, though, because your blog last updated.
It was 2009, 2010?
No, no, no. 2011.
Okay, there we go.
September 13, 2011. Right, but there's right. a bio.
And I made more boring on Twitter.
I think the bio, though, you know, I was reading it. It's just to learn a little bit about you, mm-hmm. maybe get some insight. Best quarterback I faced. Now, first name that comes up, Brett Favre. Makes sense, right? Brett mm-hmm. Favre, great quarterback.
Okay.
I also like David Garrard from Jacksonville.
Is that what I said?
Yes. It's on
Did
your
I
website.
Say that?
Boy, that was running a long time ago.
Wow.
Who's running this site? Was this after your second game where you played Packers and then you played Jacksonville?
Right. We're probably, you know what? That's bad. But you know what?
Can we update it? Can we get
the third stringer at the U had to be better than David Garrard,
man,
right?
Don't kill him. No, he had his moments of, you know, back in 2008. We'll talk about it. But if we had to update, you know, I'll give my boys props. I'll go with Cam first because he's on my team. Mm-hmm. The potential of his ability, not so much where he is now, mm-hmm. but where he's going. Huge fan of Drew Brees. Obviously, in my opinion, I think Peyton Manning's the best to ever do it just because he changed how you play the position. The on-the-field stuff, the ability to ad-lib, to change how you do it is why I tip my hats off to him first and foremost. But I think that's a good group of guys, man. Drew Brees, you know, come back from injury, shorter guy. They say he doesn't have the strongest arm, but all he does is throw – you know, darts and win games and light it up. So extremely accurate. And then the potential probably to be the best Aaron Rodgers because he's got a strong arm, deadly mm-hmm. accurate. He's mobile, smart guy. Who knows what he's going to do.
What do you – which team we're talking about, Breeze? Do you fear his Saints or Matt Ryan's Falcons more in 2013? Who's the team in the South? I know you're thinking Panthers, but let's remove
right,
that.
Right,
who's
yeah.
scared?
Obviously, they got a good thing going in Atlanta. You look at what they were able to do this year in the offseason, who they brought in. Hey, you say, oh, this is going to be a great pickup for them. I still go with the Saints because the Saints have been the big dogs throughout my career. The Falcons, always on the cuff. You know, a young quarterback and Matt Ryan who's evolved into one of the elite quarterbacks in this league. But, you know what, you still don't worry about them like you do just because of the Drew Brees factor. I mean, he is head and shoulder. He's a savvy vet. What is it, 12 for him?
Boy, he's been around a while.
He's been around.
Yeah.
You don't even remember him in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I remember.
Yeah. Well, we're on the West Coast.
You and me are young beasts,
right.
And this one's old. Yeah.
But it's still – I mean, even though, you know, coaches in there this year, all the stuff they got missing these players, you know, you're going to that game week two, they're still the Saints. Mm-hmm. You know, last game of the season, they're still the Saints. I don't care what, you know, because they show that they can light it up. They had some big wins this year. Mm-hmm. And I think they still finished, 7-9? So, you know, they get their coach back, Sean Payton, one of the best offensive coordinators, in my opinion, in the game. So scary. So I still tip my hat off to the Saints first before the Falcons.
But is it weird when you talk about Cam Newton being so strapping and you see, like, okay, I get this. But when you see Drew Brees walking around, not in cleats, just walking around, you're like, how is this guy beating us? Do you ever get that impression?
It's the preparation, the attention to detail, the little things where, hey – he might not have that physical talent, that presence that you see, but hey, he can get the job done, and he's consistent. That's what this game's about, man. If you can just be consistent, you're going to be elite.
Yeah, but I don't like that because Cam Newton, like we talk about, he's 6'5", he's 260 pounds, he's fast as a sprinter, and he has a rifle attached to his arm.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense he's in the NFL, and I'm not. Drew Brees and Russell Wilson, they get me down. They give me low self-esteem, you see.
Right.
If I would have worked hard like they did, maybe I could have been in the NFL. It's selfish on their part. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you know what? You chose to be elite at something else. Maybe football wasn't your passion.
No, someday I'm going to figure out what that is. And
you could have been like Rudy. I mean, hey, you know. At the end of the day,
yeah,
as long as you maximize your situation, that's great.
That's the most disappointing thing is when you see Drew Brees, because Drew Brees is shorter than the two of us. He's dunking that ball over the goalpost.
Yeah.
That's probably more impressive.
The NFL game is not played in Studio 66.
Oh, there he is. There's the great Steve Smith talking right there. You know, you see he signed our door there. Will you be our second to sign our door here in 66?
I sure will.
Maybe we'll just save it for Carolina Panthers only.
Yeah, possibly. That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, right now it looks great. And Smitty, if you're listening, I love the fact that it's just Steve up there. Because he's that type of dude and he's that type of player. He deserves it.
I love him.
You know, hey, maybe put me on the other side. But if you do that, if there's two up there, guess what's going to happen? What? Every guy who comes in here is going to say, hey, I want to sign a door.
Only for Carolina Panthers. You got to wear that uniform. Now, what about that uniform? I didn't especially love the all black this year.
You didn't. We've been begging for it for years.
You like that?
It's something different. We don't want to wear the same thing. You know what? That our uniforms that we wear now, go back to, you know, our first year, I think 95. It's the same. We don't have a throwback. We don't have anything because Big Cat likes what he likes, and that's it. So we throw the black in there. All of a sudden, it was like, hey, it was a game changer. Everybody, and then, you know, everybody wanted to, it was excited for it. It's just one of those things, man.
Too shiny in my book.
But speaking of the Panthers, you know, this is an interesting thing. Now, I was a fan of the Los Angeles Rams way back in the day. They left. I did not pick up another team. I was a Chargers season ticket holder when Drew Brees was the quarterback. Don't really feel like a fan. So this offseason, I've really dedicated myself to finding a new team.
He's a free agent.
I'm a free agent
fan.
Free
agent.
I think the Panthers are a team I could possibly root for. Why should I root for the Panthers?
Well, it's the potential that's there. We know we make it hard on our fans. Because we come out, on paper, this, that, and the other, and then we start slow out the gate. And that's been our problem, is that we finish strong, we gotta start faster. And what people don't know is we've set highs the last 2 years in guys on IR, 19 guys on IR. It's a huge hurdle to overcome, especially in this league, because it's so hard to win already. But I feel it, man. It's just something about what we're building, the guys around us. I just hope that we can all kind of, you know, buy in and go do it. And that's just really what it is, getting, you know, 53 guys on the same page and saying, hey, this is the year, not another year, but the year.
I could see this being a good fit for you here.
Yes.
I you know, this is a team that hasn't got, I mean, they went to the one Super Bowl. They haven't won. I've discouraged, he can't jump on to like the Steelers or 49ers. They have all too many rings. Then he's a front runner.
Well, this is a good partnership. You say the 49ers like they've been relevant for so long. I mean, you go back to the 90s. That was my favorite team growing up as a kid, down in Miami.
Wow, that's
weird. My all-time favorite player is Jerry Rice. And here I am playing linebacker. But I love Jerry Rice. But, you know, when's the last time the Niners made the playoffs prior to the last 2 years?
True. All right, fair enough.
I know the history of it.
As somebody who rooted for the Los Angeles Rams, I will not be rooting for the San Francisco 49ers. So I've taken them off the board already.
Right.
I like this Carolina, you know.
A big choice is the barbecue down there. Which is better, Carolina barbecue or Kansas City barbecue?
You know,
Rank
what?
Likes his food.
We played in Kansas City. I didn't go get barbecue for the game, so I haven't hung out there. But when you watch the shows like Man vs. Food or what have you, man, Kansas City's got some places. I have not been there, but I love the barbecue in the Carolinas. It's great. I love, you know, barbecue. You can't lose.
It is good.
Oh, please. That's not even a question.
That's Rob Riggle. He's from Kansas City. He says KC barbecue is better. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I haven't had it. It looks good on TV.
That was a good, honest answer out of you.
Yeah, and we set from the hip.
And what about the U? Are you a Hoops fan? Were you bummed to see the Canes go down as early as they did? Number one seed. They were number two seed.
Deserving of a one seed. You know what? You know, you look at the program and where it's come from in terms of basketball. You know,
that's a good point. Right?
So that part of it was exciting. You know, you were pulling for those guys being seniors. They've been through a lot. What hurt, it was not that they went out, but it's the manner of which they went out. All right, is Marquette a better team? They were on that day. For whatever reason, it seemed like the pressure of the moment got to
that's
us.
That's why because that tournament's not, lame, though.
They have the best college tournament, anything, because you know why? You're going to have a Wichita State in the Final Four.
What's good about that? Well, we just wasted four months of our lives watching these teams earn it.
You know why?
Night
because
after night, week
Florida
after
Gulf
week.
Coast, Florida Gulf Coast, though they lost their coach this year, or now, when they start spring ball or whatever, what have you, they're going to say, hey, we're talking about playing for a national championship, the best in the land. That's what it's about. Not in our situation before, you know, they start letting teams into the BCS, like Boise or what have you. Those teams are just saying, hey, we want to win our conference and get popcorn and sit back and watch the BCS game. They had no chance. But the chance is what makes it a beautiful thing.
Yeah, but this, but now that's why college football next season is going to be way better.
Four
teams, but there won't be any dead weight. Wichita State has no business being in the Final Four.
But look what they've done. I'll tell you what they've done.
They lost twice to Evansville, and
they got whipped by Indiana State.
What business do they have?
You know why they have combines? NFL combine. It's not about how fast you are, how strong you are. They want to say, hey, if we set a date. If it's Sunday in September, can you come out and produce that performance that Sunday? Mm-hmm. We don't care what you did the Saturday before, the Monday after. What are you doing on Sunday? So, hey, make a combine, put all the pressure on you, let's see what you do. And some guys who are great players fold, and other guys who are not that good, they rise to the occasion.
All right. Again, we part ways, but it's not jive coming from you, and that's all I requested. Last question for you, since we're talking college sports and everybody's buzzing about it. I'm of the mind that Mike Rice of Rutgers, I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that if you played sports, you probably have encountered coaches that get in your face and yell at you and say mean things to you and maybe put their hands on you and push you a little bit to say, I want you over here, not over here, that kind of stuff. It happens all the time. And I was at the end of the bench. What do you make of all this noise?
I'll keep it real with you. I'm accustomed to tough coaches. I prefer tough coaches. Because I know they want the best out of me. In this situation, I've never had a coach go that overboard. So you can't do that stuff. You know, the Bobby Knight days are over. You know, especially with camera phones and all this stuff, you just can't do it. I'm not saying that it was good what he's doing, but the mark of a good coach is some guys you need to be tough on, other guys you might have to pat them on the back. Other guys might need the praise. I mean, you got to know how, because every guy is different. You need to motivate them. You're trying to get the best out of every player. So that's the mark of a good coach. You can't just be, so stern or so fatherly that, one, it gets you in trouble, and two, some guys don't respond to it. So when I saw the videos, I was definitely taken back, man. It's overboard.
All right. And I said that was going to be the last thing, my very last thing for you. Are you a Miami Heat fan?
I am.
I would have assumed so.
Not a huge hoop fan, but because I'm from Miami, I might as well follow the Heat,
Yeah. And you ever get to hang with LeBron and company there?
I've met those guys a couple times just in passing. You go to different places and different venues or what have you.
And what do you make of that? I feel like, Kobe Bryant, we're here in L.A., all you ever hear about is, hey, Dwight Howard smiles too much. That's a tisk-tisk. You got to take these things seriously.
Yeah.
LeBron and company are having a gay old time, right?
They are. That confidence more fun is different, man.
Right? It's okay to play with a smile.
He's got so many more rings than Kobe that the proof is in the pudding.
Stop it.
That's anecdote.
I tell you what, though. You can't be too hard on LeBron because he did take the Cleveland Cavaliers
to
the finals. And Kobe, hey, you know what? When you had Shaq, you won three. And then all of a sudden, you couldn't win at all until you got big Gasol, Bynum. They had a squad. What I'm saying is Kobe is dynamic. He's going to go down as one of the best players, probably the best mid-range guy ever to play the game. We're not taking anything away from him, but he's been on some great teams. And now LeBron is on a great team, and they're making the runs. It's the same thing.
Because he's doing it without Dwayne Wade, without Chris. That's exactly what he's doing. He joined an all-star team.
He went to the finals. He went to the finals. He went.
Come on, man. If you're on a matchup, you have 2 7-footers down there when you won it. 2 7-footers.
Yes.
A lot of people say that Bynum was the best center in the game over
Nobody
Dwight.
Nobody said that.
Who? What's my guy? Stephen A. Smith. You call him up right now. He was drilling it home. Bynum was better than Dwight Howard.
LeBron James went to the finals with Booby Gibson in the backcourt. Hey, this is a ridiculous comparison.
That's impressive.
So they got you got Nash, you got Dwight, you got Kobe, you got World Peace. I mean, that's not. Those guys aren't elite. They're not great in their own mind.
If we were playing for the 2005 title, we would be running away with it.
Listen, with the exception of Wade. I mean, Bosch's good.
They've got so many good players.
But they're role players. Battier, role player. Udonis, role player. Chalmers, a role player. He's not. If you look at apples to apples.
if you look at the Lakers of the 80s, that's exactly like Worthy was an elite player, but they had guys like Rambis and Kupchak and all these Michael Thompson.
And you need those guys if you're going to win the championship.
That's it.
All right.
Look at the
you know what? It's done for. I'm going to do it. Rank, forget the free agency thing. I'm going to just out and out sign and trade you to the Carolina Panthers. Beeson, you're
here now. Got you. And you know,
next year, he's now the linebacker for the Panthers. You are now in on Studio 66 full
time. I'll keep that in the back of my head when I'm playing.
All right.
I got to do it for you.
All right, I'll start working out
some more. I like this, John Beeson. I like you a great deal.
A lot
deal.
Of fun, man. A lot of fun.
And wish you the best as you get ready for 2013. Go get him this year and send Steve Smith our best, please.
I sure will. I sure will.
A pleasure. Please, let us know when you're back in town.
Yeah, definitely. Love the West Coast.
I like him, Rank. I think if he's the representative, if he is the one who can swing the door open for you, plus Steve Smith, I think you have to strongly consider Charlotte, North Carolina as your home team.
Carolina is very much in the mix. I'd say they're a top five right now.
It's a good one for you.
They're very good. Buffalo still in the mix. Kansas City's in the mix. Arizona is fighting their way back because of Carson Palmer.
Yeah, maybe that's a good one. But out of those candidates, they have the worst food. And I'd like you to at least make that a prominent factor in your decision.
But Arizona would have Mexican food.
So that's true. That's true. But you have KC barbecue, you have Carolina barbecue, and Buffalo obviously has its wings and WEC and all that stuff. I told you before, when I went up to Buffalo this season, those people seem like your kind of people.
Yes.
You know? I liked them quite a bit. They're a good, fun group, and they're loyal to their team, even though they have no apparent reason to be so, to be that way. By the way, I have to take issue with one thing. Well, many things, but as it pertains to you on this day, you questioned a couple of podcasts ago. You said, "Well, you don't really root for the Pittsburgh Pirates, do you? Right. You're not a real fan of that team."
Not really, no.
That's not a fair charge to make.
How many games did you see last year?
How many games did I see? I don't know. A bunch. How was I going to see them? I live in Los Angeles.
Do you have the MLB package?
I don't.
Okay.
So fine. That makes me not a fan.
Kind of. Yeah.
So the standard is if I have the package, that's what defines it?
You should have a rooting interest where you're following them.
I do follow them.
For baseball, it's got to be daily.
There are things called computers these days that allow me to do it, and I can listen to them on the computer and the radio broadcasts.
Do
I do sometimes, yeah. Now, listen, Pittsburgh Pirates, I'm a fan, but I'm not a sucker. If the ownership isn't trying to win, then I'm just a dope if I continue to support them if the ownership hadn't been. Now, there were several, what was that, 2007-ish, I believe? I think, I'm right, 2007, 2008, somewhere in that range. The previous regime, not the ownership, but the GM and company, the personnel guys, decided when Matt Wieters, the phenom catcher of the Baltimore Orioles, was available and projected to be the first overall pick, the mighty Pittsburgh Pirates saw fit to draft Daniel Moskis, who projected to be a middle reliever in the bigs. Mm-hmm. Well, Pittsburgh went crazy about that because how could you not take Matt Wieters? And it was suspected obviously true, they didn't want to pay the guy. It was going to be a massive investment to sign Matt Wieters, whereas Daniel Moskis wouldn't be that bad. But they didn't do that. That's not what they said. They didn't say, well, it's a financial thing. They said, hey, on our boards, we got Moskis number one. Well, okay, so then you're not just being cheap, you're stupid on top of it. You're lying to us. I'm not going to stand for that. And like many other people, that was it. That was the straw that broke the camel's back, never mind the countless winless seasons. I mean, the under 500 seasons. If they're not trying, why would I support them? Since then, they have devoted more money, and that's why I'm back on board. But I can't just suddenly go from 0 to 60 in the bat of an eye. I'm building up with them. I'm fully invested in this Pittsburgh Pirates team, as much as I can be from 4,000 miles away at least.
Yeah,
that's my answer to you.
That's a big thing, though. If you were that big of a fan, I don't think you would have moved away.
Oh, don't. You know who gives me that one? Kimmel.
But you love Pittsburgh
so much, except that you don't live there.
Exactly. That's a great point.
Well, I'm sorry that my trade took me outside of there.
They don't have radio stations in Pittsburgh?
I don't know if you've noticed. I'm not doing a radio show.
They don't have TV stations in Pittsburgh?
They do, but not the same sort of things.
I feel that you'd be...
I don't know any late night shows that are being produced out of the banks of the Three Rivers.
Oh, that's unfortunate for you. So I feel that you would be one of those great weekend you know, sports host on, you know, the Channel 7 or what, or the ABC.
I agree.
Affiliate.
I would be great.
You should do that.
All right.
I think that'd be a great turn for you.
All right. I'm happy to do it. I'm available and ready to do it, Pittsburgh. I'll fly in on weekends.
Is that weird that that's what I want to eventually
No,
do?
I love that.
Like, the thing, like, because I was in Las Vegas not too long ago, and you're watching the weekend guy who's doing sports. You're like, how hard is this job? Like, no offense to the guy who's doing it, but seriously, he's bald. I'm bald. Like,
some of the sweetest gigs are...
Like, it's got to be the best.
The best gigs are kind of like what we're doing, but like Peter Gammons, who got paid a lot more to do it, or gets paid a lot more to do it, is that's what you want to get into the bit of, into the angle of just speculation. That's what you want to do,
yeah.
You know, because then nobody can hold your feet to the fire on anything. Like, what? I was hypothesizing. What do you want me to do? I was predicting what I think might happen.
Yeah.
That's the dream gig, you
know?
That's
the racket right there.
Yeah. Peter Gammons, here's what I think could happen. I think the Dodgers might be good this year. I think they might win.
Yep.
Well, they weren't good.
Oh, well.
You know,
I think the Chiefs might go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right. Yeah, have you gotten in any trouble for predicting the Carolina Panthers are going to?
Say
you said
chance.
The Chiefs were going to the Super Bowl. No one even remembers it.
Had a lot of winners on that one.
Yep. Black Tie. Now to that email.
Or to
that tweet. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry.
You know, I'm not one for all this fandom nonsense, but Twitter.
It is nonsense.
James Turner at Superman wants to know.
Nonsense.
Yeah. James Turner at Superman wants to know, hey, what NFL team should he start following? He's British. He's a Manchester United fan. He's a Breaking Bad fan. Do you guys have any quick options for James Turner?
NBA.
No, NFL team.
Oh, NFL.
Yeah, which is strange. We usually get fans of football asking for other sports, but this is a fan of another sport asking for NFL. Hmm.
Patriots. So I was at the store the other day. What?
It is Patriots. No, you can't take the Patriots because they're successful, and you can't jump in on a team that is in the midst of success. Beeson made a fair point about the Niners having had a run of success long ago, but now they're now perennial contenders, so you can't jump on that bandwagon either. I would think you would want a team that you can more easily access from England, so you could jump on a plane and go see them, so you don't, that rules out West Coast teams. So let's say, you know, it's a good one. How about the Miami Dolphins? To me, if I am a European guy, I think a lot of European people, I think, still think.
UK?
What's that? You said UK,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I feel like a lot of people in the UK or maybe Russia, maybe this is more, maybe, or maybe I'm thinking of what Russian people in 1986 thought based on the Yakov Smirnoff sort of routine and the Robin Williams movie, what was that called?
Moscow
on the Hudson. I feel like people think that everybody's a cowboy or a surfer in America.
Yes.
Maybe not anymore, though. Maybe cable or satellite TV has debunked that. Yeah, he's a Breaking Bad fan, so I guess he now knows that everybody is not one of those two things.
Now we've added cooking meth.
But still, yeah, those are our three. Those are our three hobbies. Those are our three passions. I think, though, still...
What about the Bills? I think that'd be good. He could
get
there easily.
Nah, because Buffalo, New York is sort of like, you know, I guess the, where are the Beatles from? Liverpool. Of like a Liverpool of the UK, I feel like. People who like beer and, you know, and are good, nice, decent people kind of thing, but not exotic in any way for a UK person. Miami. However, is, you know, sunny, and that sounds, if you're in the UK, if you're in London, what sounds more exotic than sunny, South Beach? Hey, our own Handsome Hank gravitated to them for some reason. I think that this is a good play. And they're on the rise. Does that sound good there, Black Tie? And they got
good.
New uniforms and everything.
Sounds awesome.
Although aqua blue won't look very good walking the streets of England. But
sounds good. Speaking of fan feedback, the poll we had up last week about the best animated movie.
Yeah.
You want to know the results?
Yes, I do.
Toy Story came in at number one. Very, very tight race between Toy Story and The Lion King, which I think is unfair, first of all, because The Lion King was a true, like, animated, drawn-out
picture.
It was a
true story.
Well, that too. While the, you know, Toy Story has about... It's a whole series and whatnot. So I'll give Toy Story that one.
I don't understand your why Lion King was more grounded than... All right, go ahead.
And then
aside from the wildlife that spoke English. But all right, go ahead.
Finding Nemo came in at number three. And Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs, which you picked, came in last with only 22 votes.
I didn't pick it. That was suggested, and I took it as one that was more clever than I thought it got credit. No, my choice was The Incredibles.
Which came in fourth.
Well, people are wrong. So what? So more people buy Mariah Carey records than they do Built to Spill records. It doesn't make them right.
Two totally different fan bases, but...
All right. Well, Incredibles. All right. So that was our winner there, Best Animated Movie. We did have a big omission. I forget what it was. People have dropped me a line on that one. I can't think of now what it was, so I guess never mind. I'll tell you which one isn't among those. The Croods. I took the kids to see The Croods. Mm-hmm. Not so good. Not particularly
good.
Entertaining. No, I would not bother with going to see that one. Black Tie. More importantly, we have
Monsters, Inc., I think, was the one people wanted to see. Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah, people was like that. I mean, listen, I've seen Monsters, Inc. many, many times. I know the stories of Sully and Mike very well, and there's a prequel coming out this year. And I will certainly see it, but it doesn't rank with The Incredibles, like I say, or Finding Nemo. Hey, more importantly, Black Tie, what about the results to the Land of the Fox showdown that we started, I think it was a couple weeks ago already? It was a big day in Lindsay news. It was the day Lindsay Lohan, I think, she was late for her court date because her private jet was late. And then that was the same day Lindsay Vonn and those weird pictures came out with her and Tiger Woods, those posed stage pictures of the happy couple. So we said, which one of those Lindsay's? Oh, and also... and we said this is the biggest day in Lindsay news since the late 70s when Lindsey Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac, his record Rumors came out, or the band's record Rumors came out, and Lindsey Wagner, the Bionic Woman, was running on TV. I think it was like 1977 or 78 or something. Anyway, so it was Wagner, Vaughn, Lohan. Only one can gain admission to the most treasured soil in the Czech Republic, and of course... it's where only the foxiest of foxes run free. Black Tie, who is the newest resident of the Land of the Fox?
In the Land of the Fox.
Lindsey Vonn coming in at 52%, Lohan at 34%, and Wagner at 14%. So Lindsey Vonn wins it.
Yuck.
Congratulations, everybody.
I'm not thrilled about that one.
That's
I don't
terrible.
Like that one. Well, maybe she doesn't have to live in the she doesn't get prime real estate there. You know, she would live on the outskirts. We'll get her like a trailer. Because one time a few years back, Tina Fey got in, much to my – I did not support that one, but I'm a man of the people, and it's a democracy, the Czech Republic.
Who was she going up against?
I don't even remember. I think it was like a Women of Comedy contest, and Tina Fey got in, so she has a trailer, a double wide out on the outskirts.
I gotta figure this out. So Women of Comedy, I know Black Tie had an aborted shout out to attractive women doing stand up that went nowhere, and Tina Fey, I just feel like there's other Women of Comedy.
I don't remember who she went up against, to be honest with you, to give you the information. But anyway, listen, we enjoy your tweets, so keep them coming. Hit me up at Damashek, hit Rank at Adam Rank, and Black Tie, you were about to say, the hashtag DDFP. That's what counts, huh?
That's all that matters.
Makes it easy to find. You know what I failed to do? Two things quickly.
A lot
One,
of things. Go ahead.
No. Two things to do quickly. Yes, I do forget a lot of things. One is... remember I floated about a month or 6 weeks ago, what is the worst trio of quarterbacks on a single team ever? And it's relevant once again because of what Cleveland has going. That's not that. The Jets have a sorry trio of QBs now, but what is the worst trio an NFL team has ever put together? And a lot of you hit me up on Twitter, and I feel bad for saying it, but I couldn't dig them all back up. I didn't save them all quickly enough. And so I'm asking for those once again. Hit us up with the hashtag DDFP and the worst QB trio. Also, I floated this question. To me, indulge me. I think that the Pittsburgh Penguins with Mario Lemieux, Jaromir Jagr, Sidney Crosby, Geno Malkin, and Ron Francis have the greatest collection of forwards, as a mighty collection of forwards in their sport. I mean, it's as dominant as you could possibly see. What is the sports equivalent of that? Is there one? Yankee sluggers, Green Bay Packers quarterbacks, Bears linebackers, Steelers linebackers. Hit me up as well on that one. It's a question I floated out.
Can I throw in a soccer reference? Brazil strikers?
That's a good one, actually. I like that. I mean, I don't know, but I'm not sure I could reel them off.
Ronaldo, Romario, Bebeto.
You don't have to use that tone to me. I just said I don't know them all. I just said that to you. How about Pelé?
Of course. Neymar?
I say it is, I intentionally said his name wrong so you would correct me, but you didn't.
No, I mean, Pelé. Some people say Pelé or Pelé. It doesn't matter to me.
Well, if you're not familiar with Pelé's work, then I encourage you, nay, demand you go see Victory, because that's where it's at. All right, Rank, you have anything you want to promote before we get out of here?
No.
No? That's it. All right.
NFL.com/AdamRank for the latest. Oh, you know what? This weekend we will be having a WrestleMania preview. We will be doing a, I don't know if it's going to be a photo essay or how we're going to present it. Current NFL stars and their WWE counterparts. We'll bring back the Torrey Smith interview, go over his predictions for WrestleMania. There'll be a gridiron breakdown between John Cena and Tim Tebow. And then hopefully we will run into somebody or catch up with somebody from the WWE. We could do that. And if you ever want to see me at the Brea Improv, please do me a favor. Tweet them at Brea Improv. Say, I want to see Adam Rank. I know that they're looking for that. I might be there very soon.
Wow, for somebody who has nothing to promote.
I forgot.
20 minutes. All right, good.
I've been storing it all up.
All right, good.
Sitting here listening to your soccer stories.
Listen to me. I thought you were making fun of my high school basketball story. That was a good story.
I like that.
I have a lot more of those. If you want more, we could do Dave's athletic endeavors.
Can we do one more? Is there another one? Or I don't want to put you on the spot. Can you save one up? I think
yes,
that should
of course.
Be
a, okay. I have many of them.
Can you do one on command right now?
Sure, I could.
Well, it's gotta be
I'm not doing it, but
it's got to be at least 20 minutes.
I looked up your point guard, Ben Lawski, and he seems to be quite the successful businessman.
I know.
Or politician.
I know. It's embarrassing for my parents. I feel bad for my parents that given the exact same background, both two guys growing up in Pittsburgh in the same middle school and high school. Ben Lawski went on to be an influential man in politics and in New York City and in trying to solve the big bank crisis. I rank breakfast meats. So, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other, or whatever they say.
You know, it's always cliche to say about people going up, like, oh, they're growing up to be doctors and lawyers. Of my four closest friends growing up, two doctors, one lawyer, and another guy played football at the University of Washington. And then there's me.
Well, we have each other, Adam. All right, listen. So with that being said, we'll see. I don't know when we'll be back, but sure enough, we will be back. So be on the lookout for that. In the meantime, though, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
Hand Zeus and Mr. Fancy Pants. The Flames need NFL news, and here's their chance. It's ATL around the league. Light a flame, boys. Pigskin's hot tonight. Burn, baby, burn.
Welcome back to another edition of the ATL Debate Club. My name is Dan Handis, and I'm joined, as always, by a man who doesn't eat meat but has yet to pose topless for PETA, Mark Sessler.
You know, Dan, I haven't seen you in like a week.
Yeah.
Very odd intro.
That was strange.
Would you have expected me to... Why would PETA even be interested in me posing topless?
Because you're a notable blogger for a major corporation, sports corporation.
I'm not sure that, you know what, can we dig right into what we're planning to talk about today?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
You've opened things in a very strange... Well, listen, it may not matter because reports coming from across the sea...
Yes.
...suggest that nuclear war is imminent.
Yeah, North Korea and my grasp of news and events outside the 32 NFL teams is very hazy at best. But this is what I've been tracking, and tracking more than the rest of society, I feel like, is that the powers that be in North Korea want to destroy America with nuclear weapons.
That's the skinny.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Am I the only one that doesn't think we as a nation are taking this threat seriously enough?
Well, I mean, I have to agree with you. Actually, I was off yesterday and, you know, roaming around town, went to a restaurant, actually, where there was a television with this news breaking, essentially.
Right.
And I don't know much more than you about the details, but I think that suggests that the interest level in the restaurant was barely there. Nobody seemed to care.
You know what I found interesting is if you, on social media, if... the powers that be, again, in North Korea, that want to destroy us via nuclear weapons, if they follow social media, and I don't know what the access is, it's a communist nation, and I don't know if they have translators, and I don't know if Snark carries over in Korean,
mysteries.
If the translation is there.
Yeah.
But if they do, if Kim Jong-un or whoever this guy is has a translator that understands Snark, and he went through Twitter and he saw what us Americans are writing about these threats that they're making and basically, you know, just shooting down any aspect of whether believing that it's real and really poking fun at a major superpower, military superpower, for threatening to blow us off the map, then they're definitely going to attack us, right?
Well, I mean, it's like that. That in itself is kind of instigating them, because I'm trying to think back when we were kids,
right?
And obviously, you know, we aren't. I wouldn't say that we're children of the Cold War. I mean, I think we barely touched the edge of it. And
well, you
maybe me more than
an adolescent of the Cold War.
Based on the fact that I actually was engaged in historical happenings as a child, where you were just floating through whatever you were doing.
It was in a
anyways,
coal mine.
So, I mean, but there was a lot of fear. You could feel like that society was in grips over the sense that
yes.
this, you know, looming threat of Russia was always at the doorstep.
If this happened during the Cold War in the 60s, 80s, people would be freaking out.
Right.
Like, I remember my grandmother had an old VHS tape. It was called The Man Who Saw Tomorrow. It was like an HBO special in the early 80s hosted by like a 600-pound Orson Welles. And it foretold, it was a Nostradamus predicting different things throughout history. And one of the one was a, I believe it was a Middle East character or Russia, one or the other, destroying America with nuclear weapons. Actually, the whole world destroying itself. So people were serious about that stuff enough to make TV specials. And now everybody just makes fun of things on Twitter. But I guess that's, in general, what life is now, just making fun of things on Twitter.
I think, you know, we're both trying to say we're a little bit disappointed in our own people.
Yeah. There's no Jack Bauer figure to save the country if we get in too deep. So, you know, everybody, you know, read the news a little bit. Let's be plugged in.
Well, and again, we are not just an NFL podcast. We've ventured deep into world politics, but I do feel like we're
a little
kind
too
of
deep right now.
Maybe so, but you've had like George Washington crossing the river in the thick of night.
Yeah,
we're almost like the other side of that right now. We're so unfocused as a people that, like, I'm down in the newsroom. All we're talking about is, you know, various transactions under center for 32 NFL
right.
teams. There could be bombs heading this way.
There's a guy
roughly
we,
soon.
There's a guy we need to ask about this situation.
There probably is
Alex Wilktai behind the glass. We need to talk to Damashek about the North Korea situation.
Oh, I thought it was me. I was a poli-sci minor, you know.
No, we're...
Ooh, this is awkward. I have notes.
Yeah. Well, we'll dig into that a little later in hour two of the podcast. But right now, can you get Damashek on the line? Because I'm actually fascinated by what Dave thinks about this.
Yeah.
Or if he even has any idea it's happening.
I think that's a reasonable question. Let me try him.
Okay.
Seconds away.
He's not aware of our phone call, but we assume he's going to pick up.
He'll see it's us and pick up.
Yeah.
Hello?
Dave, how are you doing? It's been a while.
I'm fine. How are you, fellas? Yeah, it's been way too long, Mr. Fancy Pants. I don't know where you've been out gallivanting, surely rubbing elbows with the hoi polloi of showbiz and beyond, but it's a pleasure to speak with you once again.
This week on the Dave Damashek football program, Dave mentioned that you've been missing for a month, and
yeah.
it's fair to say that it seems to be almost a ducking scenario at this point.
Well, it actually often your show is broadcast on Mondays, which is the day that I'm not here, and I also am not notified that the show is being taped. So, with our psychic channels not linked, I can't make it. I'd love to show up and be a part of this again.
That's a vague, not so vague pot shot. On black tie, it sounds like.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And listen, it all, I mean, you know, Mr. Fancy Pants Sessler is lying only to himself. And with these excuses he's making, I get it. It's the hi-hat. I don't know why I would be getting the hi-hat. And you know what, Panzoos, you're getting it as well, because you've been a good soldier and continued to participate in grand fashion. I guess we're not good enough any longer.
Yeah. Well, misconstrued entirely. You know, it is. Misconstrued.
It's like the son that's on the stage for his big recital, and he looks out and he sees dad's empty seat.
Yeah, that is. I feel a pit in my belly every time, but we've pressed on and we've tried to do as good as we possibly yes. can do with what we thought was an important member
yes.
of
so,
the program.
So, Dave, we felt that it was imperative to call you because we opened up this football podcast by delving into an 8-minute conversation about the conflict with North Korea and potential imminent doom via nuclear weapons, and no one seems to care. And we were just curious where you stood on this, if you were concerned, were you even aware of it? Where is Dave Damashek on this?
Well, as somebody who has, you know, over the last 3 or 4 months, I've gotten caught up on this Walking Dead hokum and Hanzoosh, you and I have kibitzed about it on the program a few times. So anybody who has been watching that surely has taken a moment or two to consider what the apocalypse will be and what your role is going to be in the apocalypse and, you know, what you'll do to find activities in your final moments before the sweet release comes. Yeah, I mean, listen, unless Dennis Rodman can resolve this thing ASAP, I think we're all doomed. And it's about time, like I say, that we all start really giving some serious thought to how we're going to spend our final hours here on the big blue marble.
Yeah, you had said that if there was a zombie apocalypse, just as if you had been in some type of major war, you would be one of the first to go. Do you believe you'd be a little bit more of a survivor in this type of situation, or would it be instant doom for Mr. Damashek?
No. I'll go out early. You know, and it won't even be. It'll be sad it will be sad. It's sad for me to know in advance that no one else is going to have time to be sad because my departure will be quick and no one will remember it and no one will wax about me. Like, you know, if you watch The Walking Dead, they'll once in a while, now I can't even think of the guy's name. Who's the old guy with the floppy hat and the beard?
Oh, was it Gene? Or
Dale,
yes.
Once in a while, they'll think about Dale and they'll you know, sort of wax nostalgic about what he brought to the group.
Right.
Whereas, I don't think anybody could tell you about any of the people who died in the first couple episodes. That's me.
Right.
I'm one of the first couple episodes people. I'm gone, just one of the masses who got wiped away early. Nobody sits around and thinks about how I made the world a better place.
Not to get...
Which is really not unlike present day. No one sits around and thinks how I make the world a better place. So
that's a shame.
I guess I should be used to that.
All right, so it's obvious that the concern in this room over potential actual war is it's heightened. The three of us are gripped by fear.
Well, it's trumped by a mediocre basic television program.
The thought I had actually when I heard this news immediately was I really need – my hair is a rat's nest right now. I really need to get a haircut, and I haven't found time, and I was like – if war were to break out and society crumbled and I were to melt initially, that's one thing I don't have to go deal with.
A haircut.
Minor chores. Haircut. More just chores. I'm not sure I'd want to stick around for what's next.
I think that's Dave's aforementioned sweet release that you're referring to. Dave, we got to spin it back to football. So let me ask you a question because you are the ultimate Carson Palmer apologist. It's ridiculous to me how much you adore his football skills. Yeah.
Poor Carson Palmer.
You seem to exist in a vacuum where it's still 2005 whenever the man's name comes up. So you must be really excited. Well, not excited for the Cardinals, but you must think the Cardinals really did well for themselves here.
What are you, a kook? Listen, it's damning with faint praise to say that he's the best USC quarterback. That doesn't mean that I think he's good. It just means I think he's better than Matt Leinart is.
Right.
Or John David Booty. That's the, you know, but then again, I'm better than they are, too.
Or Mark Sanchez.
Mark Sanchez, he's another one who I probably could beat out for that Jets gig. I don't love Carson Palmer. I just think I thought last season he looked better. He looked closer to the 2005 version of himself than he had in previous years. I thought that he had suffered whatever mysterious ailment had taken down Drew Bledsoe previously, which is that even though the announcers continue to describe these guys as rocket arm guys, they can barely get the ball out there to the sideline. I thought Carson Palmer looked not half bad in 2012. He's a pick machine. Don't get me wrong. He's not a top five QB, but I think we can agree he's an upgrade from John Skelton. Yes.
Well, certainly an upgrade over Skelton. I guess I had the misfortune on Sundays last season because we split up the Around the League guys. We split up games to watch and we try to cover every game. And I ended up getting a lot of Raiders games. And, you know, Palmer's stats weren't terrible last season, but a lot of that came in garbage time where he didn't have to worry about a pass rush or, you know, some fancy defensive scheme. And he was just kind of just piling up, you know, yardage that didn't matter.
Of course. What are you're preaching to the choir. Let's not what is this nonsense that I don't understand this position you've decided to set up that I have to defend Carson Palmer?
Because you did last week on the Dave Damaschek football program.
I said he's an upgrade for them. That is an upgrade for them. What do you want me to tell you? I'm not going to defend Carson Palmer to you.
Hold on. If you were a Cardinals fan, though, can you elicit one drop of hope out of this transaction? It just feels to me like one of the most boring quarterback moves that you could make when you're a new coach coming in. Hitching your wagon to Carson Palmer is about as vanilla a move as I can imagine.
Yeah, well, the one thing is, first of all, is our pal Daniel Jeremiah points out that if you are an incoming coach / GM and one of your first moves is to hitch your wagon to a first-round draft pick QB or to use a high first-round draft pick on a QB, your fate is now married to that guy's. So this is a more mild gamble, I feel like. You know, Carson Palmer's pretty long in the tooth, and if he doesn't pan out, that stink doesn't go on to Bruce Arians. Whereas if he reaches on Geno Smith or Matt Barkley and that doesn't work, then he does go down with that ship. But I do think, and we talked about it on the program the other day, again, when you weren't there, Mr. Fancy Pants, but we pressed on and decided to talk to one another anyhow. We talked about Carson Palmer, and you do have to give the Cardinals organization credit for this. Just as, and you're a Cleveland Browns guy, Sessler, just as the, a hard-nosed running back like Kevin Mack, the perception is he gets extra points in a town like Cleveland because theoretically, those blue-collar town loves a hard-nosed guy like that. Same sort of thing like that. Phoenix really embraces its identity by constantly bringing in these early retirees like Carson Emmitt Smith.
That's fair.
And, I mean, only Kurt Warner has worked out, and so Carson Palmer has the odds are against him, but There was Emmitt Smith. There was Boomer. Who else was there? Another old timer. Well, Kurt Warner, like I say. But I do like that it seems like you would imagine that the locals in Phoenix can really get behind this because he's one of them. So on that count, at least. Although, as I mentioned in one of our past NFLs, I don't know when I floated the idea of Carson Palmer going to the Valley of the Sun. I don't know that his complexion is a good fit for that blazing sun. I think he might just turn to dust when that 100-degree heat hits his skin.
And then
that aside, I like the move.
And then he'll he'll have to quit a third team then if it gets too hot and sunny for him.
That's right. Or the sun will quit or will force him to quit. But yeah, listen, I mean, like we've talked about, the move that I'm waiting for is with these teams, instead of Geno Smith, or any of these other guys who by all accounts are a reach early in the first round, where is the trade for Ryan Mallett already? That's the move. Why is no one trying to move heaven and earth to get that guy?
Well, we've talked about this actually on last week's show, which I'm sure you listened to, that Mallett is still on the radar of Cleveland. And I've actually bet Handsome Hank and Dan at the Super Bowl what was it, a massive dinner?
Massive dinner and several cocktails.
That Mallett would be Cleveland's opening day starter. I still think that's going to happen.
Is that right? Wow, strong words.
I think Lombardi has a massive man crush on Ryan Mallett, has for years, and they're going to try to trade down to acquire basically a second-round pick that will allow them to swing a trade with Belichick.
Well, that's a bold prediction. I like it. And does that help, do you imagine, the personal relationship that Lombardi has with Belichick, or does that hurt? Because you're right that if Lombardi loves Mallett so much, then Belichick knows this. Ergo, he will demand a king's ransom for him, or will he do his chum a solid and let Mallett go?
Well, I think the concept of Cleveland being fleeced in a trade is not new, and we may have another chapter rich book.
If you give up anything more than a third rounder to get Ryan Mallett, I will not forgive you personally.
Why?
Can we relax about Ryan Mallett?
Says the guy whose team traded up for Mark Sanchez.
Let's not get sidetracked. Ryan Mallett is an impressive physical specimen, and in theory could be a great NFL quarterback. But are we going to get carried away and now treat him as a guy that's all he needs is an opportunity to be the next star quarterback?
In a world in which people are considering taking Geno Smith in the first with one of the first 8 or 10 picks in the draft, yes, Ryan Mallett. The issue was all the so-called character stuff and everything, and I'm sure a couple of years at the knee of the golden boy Tom Brady has reformed Ryan Mallett's ways, and he's now ready to go. Whatever issues he had as a student athlete are now in the rearview mirror, and he knows how to comport himself in the NFL. And by the way, I know that the Patriots have supposedly said they would want a first round pick to get Mallett. I think if you said, how about this, a second-round draft pick and Brandon Weeden, is there any chance they would say no to that?
That's viable, and I think you look at these other trades that have just happened, like we're not trading first-round picks for quarterbacks. So,
Dave, we're trying to keep a tight 20, and Alex Wilk is shooting daggers at us behind the glass. Wilk tie. So we're going to have to bid you a
well, it doesn't help when you make fun of USC quarterbacks for 15 minutes. I mean, that's not really the way to curry favor with me.
Ooh.
All right, continue to delude yourself into thinking that they're good then. Yeah, good luck with the lane.
Barkley's going to do it. He's going to turn it around, I swear.
2013 is the year of the Trojans.
Yeah,
Lane Kiffin.
That's
this
right.
It's going to be a great year. Or on the other hand, maybe you'll fall further behind in the race for the hearts and minds of college football fans in Los Angeles to Jim Mora Jr.
Dave, we're getting Wilkes tears on the equipment now, so we got to go.
All right. I don't care what Wilk Ty says, but but you know what? I consider myself lucky to have had this time with Mr. Fancy Pants. I look forward to speaking.
There's some heat. There's legit heat.
No, we're gonna reunite on your show
in autumn of 2014. I look forward to it.
Not putting a date on it, but soon.
Not
than
if
that.
North Korea has anything to say about it. Tie back. All right. Thank you, Dave. All right. Well, that was Dave. Always good stuff. Always, I've noticed now this is probably Dave's third time on the show. It almost always starts with some level of animosity on the other end of the line. He seems to be a little perturbed that he's on our show.
Well, I think his concerns are legitimate. I have not appeared on the Damashek show in, what, a month?
It's been about a month.
Yeah. It has been coincidental. I love Dave, and I'd like to return. That's my statement.
You know who's really upset?
That's my statement.
The dude that's on one of the Damashek message boards that actively dislikes me and likes you. He must be really upset. He must think that I've done something to keep you out of the mix. Before we go, I want to bring Wilk Ty back over if he's done crying from all that USC.
I think I've
jibber jabber.
Yeah.
I sent out a tweet earlier this morning about Arrested Development. They announced that the season 4 of Arrested Development would finally be airing. It's been on hiatus essentially since 2006. A full season on Netflix in May will premiere. I, as a huge fan of the show, I've watched each of the 3 seasons multiple times, put together a list of the top 5 secondary characters in the show's history.
Critical with bombs soaring towards the U.S., Dan.
Oh, get over it. So let's go over this list. They had number five, Tony Wonder, which was the magician played by Ben Stiller that used bread products. Steve Holt, who was the girlfriend of Maybe. Barry Zuckerkorn, played by the great Fonzie, the family attorney. Carl Weathers playing himself. He was an extremely frugal man that was really big on making soups or anything he would be able to, anything to save money. He also loved Burger King because it had great value. He was also Tobias Fuque's acting coach. And then number one I had, speaking of Tobias, Mrs. Featherbottom, which was the alias when Tobias dressed as a woman, a Mrs. Doubtfire type character to stay close to his family after he separated from his wife. So that's my top five. Alex Wilk, how do you feel about that?
I took issue with the top five. I felt Carl Weathers is a weak choice at number two.
You're a weak choice.
Especially when you're leaving Bob Loblaw and his Loblog.
That's true.
Rita, Michael's girlfriend from the, what, fourth season, third season?
Was that Mr. F?
Yes, Mr. F.
Okay, yeah.
Better known as Mr. F, I suppose. Yeah. And Ong Yong. How can you forget
Ong Yong? I thought was a little overrated. I like that he lived in the walls for like a season or two. Going through Twitter, some feedback that I got, people that Wayne Jarvis, do you know who that character was? That one escapes me.
It rings a bell, but...
Chris Wesslinger, around the league writer, chimed in with Franklin, who was Job's African-American puppet.
Yeah.
Bob Loblaw was all over the place.
Loblog.
My buddy Mark chimed in with Thomas Jane, who was the romantic interest of the sister for a while. That was a good one. Who else we got here?
Wayne Jarvis, by the way, was the extremely serious lawyer.
I love that guy. J. Walter Weatherman was an oversight for me. He was the guy that always the father would have J. Walter Weatherman teach the kids lessons by having his arm torn off. And he'd be like, that's why you never leave the milk out. And then his arm would get torn off. Let's see if there's any other ones. Gene Parmesan. And
why does Ann Zeal get no love in this?
Ann is
bland?
A great one, too.
Yeah.
Egg.
We were talking about this earlier. I think she's a fantastic addition to the show. She's, yet a minor one.
Yeah, and that was, of course, George Michael's girlfriend that Michael Bluth could not get over the fact that George Michael would be interested in such a boring, unattractive woman. Who turns out, and Wilk brought up before the podcast, she's a great actress, and she's now on Parenthood.
Oh, is she?
Which my wife watches
a lot. I haven't even seen that. She was in Perks of Being a Wallflower as well.
Yeah, why don't you get her on the show?
We'll do.
We can talk about North Korea.
Long
and,
overdue.
Also Carson Palmer. Next week, we wanted to talk about Mad Men this week, but I feel like, because that's premiering also Sunday, but I feel like we got to get out. It's not a tight 20 at this point, I don't think.
Let's talk about it next week.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it after the premiere.
So if you're a Mad Men fan and you haven't watched it by Friday, that's your fault because there's going to be some spoiler alerts about the season premiere.
If you're a football fan, you're sort of out of luck because I think we spent roughly 2.5 minutes of this production talking football.
I thought we got some good football.
We have got major world events looming. We deal with priorities.
We will, but after we get electroshocked by the powers that be, we're going to probably be doing more football next week. But thanks for listening, and this will be on NFL.com/check. And Mark, do you have anything to tell the listeners before we go?
Goodbye.
Okay, perhaps for good. Thanks, guys.